Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin in Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah on Pelya, if somebody did a chalitza with a shoe not made out of leather, chalitzosa psula. As that says the Gemara Lememra, our Mishnah clearly is following the opinion. The opinion that on Pelya, a shoe made out of material, lav minalhu, is not considered a proper shoe. And that's why it may not be used for chalitza. Says the Gemara v'tanan nami, and actually, this is a halacha that we learned regarding the Trumas Halishka. We know that in Adar, they brought, everybody had to bring a new machzis a shekel, and they put all the machzis a shekel in a room in the Beis HaMikdash, and the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash would enter that room. And as he would enter that room, he would take out shkolim from that room. That's called, put them into boxes. And that's called Trumas Halishka. And that money was used to buy the Kabbonis Tzibur. And the Mishnah taught us in Masechta Shkolim that Ein HaTorim Nichnas, that this person who's going to perform this Trumas Halishkin should not go into the room, loy b'pargut chavis, not with a garment that has a hem on the bottom. Because if the garment has a hem on the bottom, there's going to be a concern that maybe this person put some money into his hem. And the halacha is that v'yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. The person has to be absolutely clear when nobody should come to accuse him. So he shouldn't wear that type of a garment, and not with this type of shoe, that there's a concern that he might have put some money into the shoe. And certainly the halacha is that he may not go in wearing mindel of a sandal, because leather shoes have a different issue. That you're not allowed to enter the azara wearing a mindel of a sandal. So we see clearly that the Ampilya Shabbat is not considered a shoe, and that's why the halacha is that you may wear it in the Azara, but there's a new halacha that we're learning now, that you may now wear it as you're doing Trumas Halishka. V'minu, but we learned in a Braisa, the Braisa regarding Yom Kippur says, Echem min of a sand of Ampilya, all these different types of shoes, lo yitayl behem lami bayis labayis, we're going from one home to another, even in the same house, if you're going from one couch to another couch, you're not allowed to wear these types of shoes, where we know that Nilas Hasandal is also Yom Kippur. So we see clearly from there that an Ampilya is considered a shoe. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, when it says that Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear Ampilya, it's where that Ampilya has katiti, has soft pieces of cotton, and that makes it very comfortable to wear. And the reason you're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur is a new reason, Mishum Tanig. On Yom Kippur, the Torah HaKadosh says, Tanos Nafshaseichem, and wearing this type of a shoe is not Tanos Nafshaseichem. Says the Gemara Amalei Rava. So Rava asked, V'mishum Tanig B'loi Min B'Yom Kippur Misira, is the Tainig the issue? For Rava Barafuna, Karach Sudra Kare, he would put material around his feet for nafik and won't go out that way, even though he had enjoyment from it, but it's not a shoe. So what do we see from here? It's not tainug, which is the critical factor. It's, is it a shoe or not a shoe? It says, Demar Alam Rav Loi Kasha, Kan Ben Pilya Shel Or, Yom Kippur, that you're not allowed to walk out wearing an Ampilya, is only with a leather Ampilya. Anything leather is also in Yom Kippur. Kan, Ampilya Shebeged, when we speak about the Chalitza and Trumas Hadeshin, we're not talking about the one made out of leather, we're talking about the one made out of material, which is really not a shoe, but there's a new consideration of, by Chalitza, it has to be a leather shoe. By Trumas Halishka, we're concerned that he may slip some money in there. Hachanami, Mistabra, and it makes sense to accept this distinction. Dilai Temahacha, if we're not going to make this distinction, Kasha Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, we could have a different question. The Tanya the Brisa says, Lo Yitayl Odom Bekor the Sikin. A person should not wear in Kippur shoes that are made out of a thin layer of leather. Metaych Beisai, he may not wear them at home. And Matayl Ben Pelion Metaych Beisai, who said, here it says that you're allowed to wear a pelion. And previously we learned that the Brisa says that you're not allowed to wear a pelion. How do we reconcile this? Elav Shmami, no? How do we have to reconcile? Kan Ben Pelion Sha'or. Ben Pelion Sha'or is Osir. Ben Pelion Sha'beged is Mutar Yom Kippur. Shmami no, that there are two different types of ampilias. So Al Gemara just discussed the halacha on Yom Kippur, and that the halacha is that Yom Kippur you're not allowed to wear a leather shoe. The question is, what about different material shoes on Yom Kippur? Are they allowed to be worn and are not allowed to be worn? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that you can wear any type of shoe as long as it's not leather shoes. The Rosh seems to distinguish between in the house and the Rishus HaRabim. When it says, M'tayal ben pelya b'tech beisoy, the Rosh wants to suggest that only in one's home can he wear these non-leather shoes. But outside the home, one cannot wear any type of shoe because you may not be recognized what type of shoe it is. Lahalacha, the Torah brings the opinion of the Behag that says that one should not wear a shoe, is even any type of shoe on Yom Kippur, only if it's Letzorich Mitzvah or it's an a place which it's dangerous. But the Bach says also that people would walk around barefoot on Yom Kippur because any type of shoe is usur. That the Taz disagrees. The Taz says that our Gemara, the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, Daf Ayin Ches, which discusses shoes on Yom Kippur, all are of the opinion that as long as the shoes are not made of leather, they may be worn on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Shari Tshuva, that quotes the Shari Tshuva's Panami Iris, that a person should l'chatchila not wear shoes that he doesn't feel any pain in them. The shoe that you wear in Yom Kippur should not be a shoe that's so comfortable. And the Chassam Sofer quotes that Panami Iris. He says that he accepts that Panami Iris la'alocha. Therefore, the Mishnah Brura says, if possible, somebody should wear like rubbers, galoshes on Yom Kippur, which are shoes that clearly you're not comfortable with. And so too is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. But there are many that disagree, and of the opinion that as long as it's not a leather shoe, the halacha is that one can wear that shoe on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasei, the Rava, that there's a difference between what type of material the shoe is made, because it says in the Braisa, Chaltza v'minal hanifra, if the shoe that was used for the chalitza is a torn shoe, v'shchufa es roiv haregel, or it's covering most of the foot, v'sandal hanifchas, a piece of the shoe is missing, mekabels roiv haregel, but it's still most of the foot fits into that shoe. The sandal shel sham b'shel meisiv, if they use different type of material, bekava kiteya, if somebody rachman slon is missing part of his foot and they make a prosthetic, the loch is that is called kava kiteya. B'moik, a shoe that's made out of hard felt, b'smichas haraglayim, if somebody can't walk on his feet and they make some sort of support, Bampelia Shalar, or a lot, or a Pelia man out of leather, V'hachaletzis min ha-gadol, when somebody has chalitza from the Yavam who is a gadol, Ben Oimid, whether the chalitza was performed when they're standing, Ben Yoshev when they're sitting, Ben Muta when they're leaning, V'hachaletzis min ha-suma, or for Yavama had chalitza from somebody who, Rachman Tzlan, is blind, and all the cases, chalitza soy k'shera, the chalitza is acceptable. Aval, b'mina nifram, if you have a shoe there that's torn, chen chayfes roiv haregel, that doesn't cover most of the leg, b'sandal ha-nifchas, that a shoe that's missing pieces of the shoe, shere m'kabos roiv haregel, that most of the foot doesn't fit into it, b'smichas hi-adayim, if somebody, unfortunately, again, can't walk, and he has supports under his hands, and that's how he gets around, m'pilya shabegad, v'achaletzis min ha-cotton, if somebody had chalitza from a cotton, and all these cases, chalitzos p'sula. So we see clearly that there's a difference between a leather shoe and a shoe made out of material. Why do we need to say, ex toisvis, that chaletzis min ha-suma, chalitzos k'shera? Why would we think that it's not kosher? So Taisus explains, since the Pasuk, when it describes the chalitza procedure, says, le'ene hazakenim, so the people who are presiding over the chalitza have to be able to see the chalitza, so we think that it goes both ways, and that the person who is performing the chalitza has to be able to see what's going on as well. That's why the Bryce had to teach us that it's that Suma Kedu Chalitza. There is actually a machloikis. The Rambam actually says, L'chatchila, a blind person should not do Chalitza. Of course, the Ravid says, what does that mean? The Ravid says that means is that if there are a number of brothers, and one of the brothers is blind, Rachman Tzlan, and the other brothers are not blind, so the brother who's not blind should do the chalitza. But says the Ravid, that if this is the only brother, of course the chalitza should be done by that brother. So of course the chalitza should be done by that brother rather than a brother than not have chalitza at all, and also not force somebody to have to do yibum when they don't want to. Gemara says, the Gemara goes back to this brisa. We learned the kava kiteya, if somebody used this prosthetic, even though it's made out of wood, the chalitza is kosher, says the Gemara. Mani, whose opinion is this follow? Remei. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos discusses that on Shabbos we, of course, may not carry, but one is allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos. Wearing clothing on Shabbos is not considered carrying. It's considered clothing. And the Mishnah says, Hakiteya, if somebody unfortunately is missing part of his foot, Yoitz b'kav shloi, he could go out on Shabbos with his prosthetic, Divrei Remeya, because he considered it a shoe. Obviously, says Rashi, we learned in our previous shiur that the Pasuk says, Va'adnal chatachash, that from that Pasuk we learned that shoes must be made out of leather. Clearly, the halacha is he doesn't follow that opinion, and he says that it does not have to be made out of leather. Rav Yossi says that a kiteya is not allowed to go out wearing that prosthetic if it's made out of wood, because it's not considered a shoe. And since it's not considered a shoe, he says, as we just mentioned, the Pasuk says, Vanal chatachash, shoes have to be made out of leather, and if this prosthetic is not made out of leather, it's not considered a shoe. And then the Bryce says, Bampilish a beged, that we can't use a beged, a shoe made out of material, is following the opinion of Rameyer. And they say that you have to use a leather shoe. So, as the Gemara, the Reisha said that a kavikiteya can be used for chalitza. And the Sefer says, you can't use it in Palyush Beged. That's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. How do we understand this Braisa, where first the Braisa is following the opinion of Rameya, and then it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? Amar Abaya, the way to reconcile this Braisa is mid the Sefer Rabbanon. If the Sefer is clearly following the opinion of Rabbanon, that the only shoe that may be used as a leather shoe, Reisha Nami Rabbanon. The ratio that says the Kavi Kiteya can be used also is following the opinion of Rabbanon. If it's made out of wood, how would Rabbanon allow that type of shoe to be used for Chalitza? Says the Gemara of Ratio B'mechup B'or. It's talking about a shoe that's covered by leather. And since it's covered by leather, that's why it's going to be considered a kosher shoe to be used. And as says the Gemara, Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Abaya, that now that you've explained that a Kav HaKiteya that could be used for Chalitza is because it was covered with leather. And that's what gives it the category of a shoe. Al Ein Chup Or, if it's not covered by leather, Mai Wawid Alocha, Posel. So ask the Gemara, if that's the Alocha, that if it's not covered by leather, it's not going to be considered a shoe. So let's go back to the Braisa. Ask the Gemara. Yochi, Adatanya Sefer. Instead of the Sefer saying that Pelya Shebeged is disqualified, Liflik B'Dido. We could have remained speaking about the Kavikiteya and say, when is a Kavikiteya usable for Chalitza? B'medva Mamurim, B'mechupa Bar. Alayim B'chupa Bar, then it's possible. Why do I have to bring a different type of shoe? El Amar Rava, so therefore Rava has a different interpretation of the Braisa. Midereisha Rameya, if the Reisha represents the opinion of Rameya, who says that even a shoe that's not made out of leather is considered a shoe, and that's why the Kavakiteya that's made out of wood is okay, Sefer Rameya. The Sefer also has to follow the opinion of Rameya. But it follows the opinion of Rameya, and Rameya doesn't require a leather shoe. So why does it say in the Sefer that if you have a shoe made out of material, it's not usable? Says the Gemara, Hi Megan, a kavakiteya, even if it's made out of wood, protects the food, the foot. Hi Loi Megan, and if it's and the Pelya Shabegad does not protect the foot. Omar Maima, Hi Man the Chalitz, the Yavam, as the Chalitz is being taken place, as the Yavama takes the shoe off the Yavam's foot, Tzorach L'mitchu L'kare, the Halacha is that he has to press his foot down. And that's why the Halacha is that the Yavam, as Chalitza is being done, should stand next to the wall. Because by standing next to the wall, the Halacha, it'll be easier for him to support himself, and that his foot should be tight on the ground, as we just learned, that it has to be tied on the ground. Why is that the halacha? Because the pasuk says va'omad, and since the halacha is that the Torah is saying va'omad that you have to stand, says the Ramban, when you're standing with your foot firmly on the ground, that's considered va'omad. If you're not standing with your foot firmly on the ground, that perhaps is not considered va'omad. There is a machlokes rishonim. If the chalitza was performed without his foot firmly on the ground, is it a chalitza kshera? The Naida Yehuda has a different explanation why the foot has to be firmly on the ground. The Naida Yehuda explains that we need that the act of chalitza should be done by the woman. If the man is standing with his foot not firmly on the ground, then he's participating in the act of the chalitza. And the act of the chalitza is supposed to be done by the woman. That's why it has to be done that way. Amalei Ravashi Lameimer. For Tanya, well, haven't we learned earlier in our shir that the Braisa says, that the chalitza can be performed standing, sitting, or leaning? Says the Gemara, that isn't a contradiction to what we'd said. It has to be done, it could be done in any way, but as long as his foot is tight, is firm on the ground. Somebody who has his foot turned upside down, loy chalitz. The requirement that the chalitza is that it should be taken off the foot that is normal. And if the foot is unfortunately turned upside down, that is not considered a real foot. That if somebody can't walk and he uses his hand supports, the halach is that the chalitz is kshera. My love, the chalitz by iu. That the halach is that his that we're talking about a case that his feet are misformed, not formed properly. So the Gemara loy. The Bryce is not talking about the chalitza has to be done because his foot is not straight. The yavle la'acha v'cholitz. That somebody else that will do to help him, that he should stand straight. Amar Rashi l'meimer l'may the kama b'meimer. According to what a meimer said, that a person whose foot is deformed should not participate in the chalitza. Labar ubecholitz v'labar kippah b'cholitz. These two individuals cannot be people who are chalitza done with them, because the Gemara Masechta Ma'akotin Daf Chof Hei Amabeis teaches us that these two people were professional savtonim. They used to say hespedim by levayas. And Rav Ashi asked them, "What will you say by my levaya?" And they did not respond respectfully, and they got punished, that their feet got deformed. We learned in the Mishnah Menakuva Lamata that if the foot was, if even if the bottom of the foot is missing, the chalitza kshera. For money, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says, regarding being oil or regal by the Sholosh Regalim. So says the Torah, Sholosh Regalim, tochagli b'sholim. Regalim, from here we learn, pat lebali kavin, that a person who doesn't have a full leg is not obligated in the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. So you see that regel requires a full-fledged leg. Since answers the Gemara, shani hachob, diksim mi'al ragloi. As long as you have part of the foot, it's considered that you could do a chalitza. Yachil l'malam and akuv anami. So then why does it make a difference if he has above the, as long as he has feet above the knee? Mi'al ragloi, says the Gemara, because it has to be an area above the regal, but if he hasn't had that area, it's called only ma'al de ma'al, and that's not good. Amar Papa, Shema Mino, Hai Istaria, the bottom of the foot, Al Aranachas, goes all the way down to the ground. These Akadatach Mifsa Posagats, two bones, Havale Iyu Ma'al Ragloi, the part above the ankle is ready Ma'al Ragloi. Vishoika, and the part above that, the calf is Ma'al de ma'al. Says the Gemara, Amar Vashi, Afilu Tema Mifsuk Posik. Even if there are two bones, called the Bahadi Kara, everything that looks as one bone is considered Kikara Dami. Mina Kuva Lamala, but if above the knee, if it's only above the knee, it's not a valid Chalitza. Masraf Kahana. The Torah, when it speaks in Parashas Kisavoy about the Techacha, the Posik says, Haraka Bechava Anuga, Tera Eina b'bna u'b'bitai u'b'shalyasa, means her young children. Hayoytzis m'bein ragleil. Now we know that the child, as it exits the mother's body, it's higher up on the foot. And still we see that the pasuk calls that area bein ragleil. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, b'shor shekaras leilid, as the woman is about to give birth, she puts her feet all the way up, and the child comes up from that area. So we see that the upper area is also considered raglav. Toshma, the pasuk says about Mephibosheth when Shaul went to Melchama with David, and the pasuk says in Shmuel about Mephibosheth that as long as David Melech went to war, he was in grief, and the pasuk says, "Loi osa raglav." He wanted to show he was participating in the grief of David. For loi osa sfamoi, he did not trim his mustache. So we see from here, loi osa raglav, it means the upper area, and that's called raglav. Says the Gemara, "Lishtem alya." Says the Gemara, "Tashma," and the Gemara asks, the pasuk says, "V'yom shol lahesachas raglav." So we see that the area where one urinates, which is the upper part of the leg, is still called raglav. Again, says the Gemara, the pasuk is using a lishtam alya, a nice language, but it means that is not really the area of being raglav. Toshma ach mesechu raglav, becheder hamakera. Egloin, the king of Moav, was a terrible enemy of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Eid ben Gera to save them. He went and he brought a gift to Egloin, and he took along with him a sword. And after he gave the gift to Egloin, he said, I have to tell you a secret. And the pasuk says that Egloin was sitting in a throne on a platform, and he told everybody to leave. And at that point, Ehud stabbed him. And the pasuk says, as Ehud walked out of the room, the servants saw that the door was closed. And they assumed that the reason the door was closed was because Mesach Raglov, he was using the bathroom in the Chada Makira. So you see again, the upper part of the leg is called Bein Raglov. Again, answers the Gemara's Lishnam and I, Malia. Bein Raglov, the pasuk that speaks about how Yael had relations with Sisroi, and the pasuk says that he had relations with a Bein Raglov. Again, says the Gemara, Lishnam Alia. Amar Rav Yochanan, Sheva Be'ilas Bol Oysa Rosha Ba'Oysa Yoyim. He had relations with Ya'el 7 times that day. Shnema Bein Raglea, Kara Nofal Shachar Bein Raglea, Kara Nofal Bashakara Sham Nofal Surud. And every one of these words represents a act of Bia. But ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says regarding Ya'el, Tvarach Menoshim Ya'el. Ask the Gemara, how could the Pasuk praise her? Hakamas Anim Aveira. She did an Aveira. She had this relationship, which she presumably enjoyed, and she's not allowed to enjoy a relationship with doing Gilei Arayis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Shem Rav Shim Ben Yochai, Kol Toivasin Shel Rishoyim, anything that we presume is good, Rishoyim Me'esh to Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that they do, what we think may be good, is really not good. As we find that when Yaakov ran away from Lavan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Lavan and he says, "Nisham lecha pentadabim Yaakov mitoiv adra." So we need to understand the pasuk. Ask the Gemara. Bishlama ra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned Lavan not to say anything bad to Yaakovinu lechayi is very understandable. Ella toiv amayloi. Why was he not allowed to say anything good to him? Even when the Rishoyim think that they're doing something good for Klal Yisrael, Rahu, there's nothing good about it. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Ahasam, when Lavan was warned not to speak to Yaakov, says the Gemara, the reason he was warned, because Dilma Matkele Shmod Avodis Kechavim, maybe he's going to mention his Avod Zorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Yaakov and Lavan to discuss his Avod Zorah. Ella Hocha, when Sisroi had relations with Yael, my Ra Ikra, that what's called Ra, says the Gemara, because when she had relations with this terrible individual, Koshadi Beizuma, he put into her such a terrible tumah. As we find when the Nachash had relations with Chava, Hitlba Zahuma, he put into her this tumah. Yisrael Sham Dahar Sinai, Klai Yisrael, and that was in all of mankind. Yisrael Sham Dahar Sinai, but Klai Yisrael that stood by Har Sinai, Paskuzum Asim, that Tumah was removed. Ov the Kham Shloyam Dahar Sinai, but the Akum did not stand Har Sinai, like Paskuzum Asim, did not stop. And as the Kedis Yitzchak explains, he says that Klai Yisrael, by accepting the Torah and following the mitzvah, which is the opposite of tumah, brings tahara into their lives. We learned in the Mishnah, Chaltzah Minashayna Shaloi, if the chalitza was performed with a shoe not owned by the Yavam, chalitzasuk shera. Tanabonim, the pasuk says, naloi, enli ala naloi, that he has to own the shoe. Nal shakol adamanayim, How do we know if the shoe was owned by someone else, it's still fine? Tamalayim now become mokim. Any type of, he doesn't have to own it. Im kemat tamalayim, asked the Gemara, what do we learn from naloi? Says the Gemara, nal haroi loy. It has to be a shoe that he can walk in. Prat, lanal gol shen yochel alboy. If it's a shoe that's too big for him to walk in. Ulam nal kotn shen chayfus ragloy. Or the shoe is too small. It doesn't cover most of his foot. In all these cases, uprat l'sandal ha-musloyim, or a shoe that's torn, she'en lo ekev, that doesn't have a sole, and all of these types of shoes, the halacha is, they should not use that shoe. Says the Gemara, Abaye Abakoy Kamed Rabbi Yosef, Abaye was standing by Rabbi Yosef. Asa Yavam, a Yavam and a Yavam came to Rabbi Yosef to perform chalitza. Amle havli sandalach. So Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, give me your shoe, because I look at your shoe, and I see it's a shoe that's good for Yibam. Yovle, sandal the smaller. So Abaye gave him his left foot shoe. Amale Eimadam Rabbonan, when is the halacha that you can use the left foot? B'dievet. L'chatchila mi Amar, can anybody suggest that L'chatchila could use such a shoe? Amale Yehachi, so if that's the case, sandal shene shaloi nama Eimadam Rabbonan d'yevet, L'chatchila mi Amar, so why are you allowing me to give him my shoe? I didn't mean that he should use your shoe. What I meant to say to you was, Havle, give him your shoe, Vaknele, and let him own it. And since he will own it, you'll be magnet to him, he'll own it, we won't have to rely on the Bidi Evid that the shoe was not his shoe. He should give it to him, I saw the Mepaiskim say, with a Tanam Nas. So we learned here that Abaye gave him the left shoe. The Loch, why did he give him the left shoe? So I saw that the Mukhi Yosef explains that he wanted to see if the chalitza was done with the left foot, is it going to be considered a valid chalitza? And as I saw, the Aruch HaNer explains. We find often in Shas that Rabbi Yosef unfortunately forgot his learning. And Abaye wanted to do things to remind him. So Abaye wanted to see that what is Rabbi Yosef's opinion. And that's why he didn't want to say it directly to him. He wanted to see how will he react. So halacha is that you should use a shoe that fits the foot well, and you should also use a shoe that l'chatchila one. You should use a shoe that belongs to the Yavam, and as the Gemara says, you should give it to him. You should give it to him a ton of manas lachzer. Says the Gemara, sandal shalates. We learned that if you used a sandal shalates, chalitzasik shera. Says the Gemara, man tana who holds that a chalitza can be done even with a shoe not made out of leather. Am Shmuel says Shmuel Ramei. He represents the opinion of Ramei, the Tanya. As we quoted earlier in our shir, the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos teaches us, Hakiteya Yoitz B'Kav Shaloi, a person who's missing part of his foot can walk out with his prosthetic on Shabbos, and it's considered as if he's wearing a shoe. Divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yosef says, a wooden prosthetic is not considered a shoe. Avud Shmuel Omer, sandal mechuppah or, if it's covered with leather, as we discussed earlier in our shir, then everybody will agree that it's considered, the Divrei Akel, it's going to be considered a shoe. The halacha is that if a home or a beged have a neged tzaras, the halacha is that this should be shown to the kohen. And the kohen quarantines the nega for 7 days. If the kohen, when? After 7 days, the kohen re-examines the nega. If it expanded, it becomes tumah muchlat. If it shrunk, it's tahor. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba Papi Mishmei Derava, sandal ha-muzgar, a sandal that has on it this nega, and we are quarantining it to see what will be the case, like tachlutz. You shouldn't use it for chalitza. So we need to be concerned that it may become a sandal hamuchlet. And a sandal hamuchlet, as we're going to learn, should not be used for chalitza. B'mcholtza, but if you did use a sandal hamuzgar for chalitza, the halach is chalitza sukshera. Sandal hamuchlet, the sandal that was declared tamei, because as we just said, that the tumah expanded, loitachletzba, it should not be used. V'mcholotz, and if you did use it, chalitza supsula. Because the halach is that that type of shoe has to be burnt, and there's a klal throughout Shas called Pitsusei Mechdeshure. Something which the Torah requires to be burnt, halachically does not have a shear. Halachically doesn't exist. Both of these types of shoes, loy tachlis ba, mcholtza, even though the sandal hamuzgar should not, the sandal hamuchlet has to be burnt, and the sandal hamuzgar we have this ksera, the halacha is b'di'evid chalitzasoy ksera. And the Gemara is going to explain soon why. Soon why. Meisvei asked the Gemara, b'ayis hamuzgar, the home that has the snega, and the kohen quarantined it. Metame metoichai, anybody who touches the home from the inside, he becomes tamei. If he touched it from the outside, there is no tumah. Mukhlet, but if it's a home that already was declared to be a house of a negan, it has to be burnt, then it's metame mitoichem acharev. Bezeh v'zeh, and both houses are metame v'biyah. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning now a new chiddush, and that is that anything that's supposed to be burnt is considered kemichtas tamei, as if it's no longer in existence, v'bi'inen, the Torah, when it says that when one enters such a home, he becomes tamei, the Torah uses the words haba alabais, that you're entering a home. And when it's about to be burnt, v'leka, it doesn't exist. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam, there by the home that has the nega, how does the Torah describe such a home? Damakra, v'nosetz it's abayis. We learn from that, afilu b'shas netzitza, even when it's about to be destroyed, there's a special chiddush haTorah that it's considered a home. Toshma, that matlas. If you have a piece of material, sheyesh by sholosh asholos, that is three b'sbos by three b'sbos, apish ein by kazayis, even though it doesn't weigh the amount of a kazayis, kivin shenichnas ruba lebayis tar, if most of this material that has on it saras was brought into a home that's tar, tamasai. The house, it becomes tamei. My love, aren't we talking about a piece of material that's mukhletes, that was declared that it has to be burnt? And we still see that it's considered that it's in existence, that the home that it's brought into becomes tamei. Says the Gemara, loy. We're talking about the beged was only musgeris, it's quarantined. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain that braisa, yochi, let's continue the braisa. Ema seifa hoyba kamazesim. If it weighs the weight of a number of zesim, even though it doesn't have 3x3 etzbos, kimin shenichs v'menik zayis labayis, as soon as you took into the home the amount of material that weighs a kazayis, tamosoi, it makes the home tamei. Now, makes the point. Yam b'shlomo, if we're going to say, says the Gemara, that the Brice is speaking about a beged which is muchletes, hainu iskesh l'meis. The Torah considered it like mace, because we see that somebody has tumas saras, is considered kameis, as the pasuk says, al no si kameis, and therefore, just like a kazayis of a mace is matama, so too, a kazayis of tumah muchlet is matama. Eliamid musgeris, but if we're talking about musgeris, eskish lemesh, where do we find that tumah musgeris is compared to a mace? So why would it be matama when that much of the house, that much is brought into the house? Answers the Gemara, shani hasam, damakrav asaraf sabeged. We're talking about a beged that's muchletes. But the Torah says that fil b'shas reifa, even though it's supposed to be burnt, kari beged, still called a beged. Ask the Gemara, v'ligma minei. So why don't we say that just like by tumah we see, that even though it's supposed to get burnt, until it was burnt, it's still considered in existence. Here too, the shoe that is supposed to get burnt, until it's actually burnt, it should be considered in existence. Answers the Gemara, Issa mitumma legamrinan. Hilchas yibum is hilchas issa v'heter, how to make a woman mutter, and aloch, and that we can't learn from there. And I saw that by tumma, it's a chiddush, and the aloch is b'kala tarikula, when there's a chiddush, because really it ought to be considered not in existence, and yet we're learning that it is considered in existence. It's a unique chiddush to hilchas tumma. One should not use such shoes for a chalitza. From chalitza, the aloch is chalitza sekshera. Shatakruvis avodas kachavim. Somebody used the shoe for avodah zara. Shalir anidachas. That the aloch is everything from the anidachas has to be burnt. Shazaken hasel chvaydai. Something that was a shoe that was prepared to be the tachrichim of a mace, loy tachlitz, should not be used. The halacha is, because here it's a chalitza psula, because they are osa b'hanah. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, ma'ishna zakana osa l'chvoide d'lav l'halacha avid. It's not meant for walking, it's meant for tachrichim, and you shouldn't use it for chalitza. The beidina, Nami lavla luchavid. It used to be that every bezdin had a special shoe available if they're going to have to perform a chalitza. And it's not meant for walking. And since it's not meant for walking, why could you do chalitza with it? Amalei, so Ravashi responded, Ila mazgabei, shluch de beidina. Indeed, the shoe that's in bezdin, that's there for chalitza, is supposed to be used for chalitza. But what's going to be the halacha if somebody, instead of using it for chalitza, the person who's in the bezdin walks for it? The halacha is that mikopei leidiner, the yanim would be okay with that. And therefore, it's not the same as shoe that's designated for tachrichim. Shoes that are designated for tachrichim, the halacha is you shouldn't use. But this is something that you may use. So we learned now, all these shoes that you shouldn't use for chalitza, but if you use them, they're kosher. And the reason they're kosher is because they are shoes, and even though you're benefiting from them, and you're benefiting from something that you're really not allowed to benefit, but there's a rule, b'chol ha'tayra kula, mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs were not given for hanah, and since they're not given for hanah, even though you're benefiting that you're using this shoe for the chalitza, chalitza lav b'chanes nitnu. However, there's a very famous Avni Nezer, which he discusses in the Agdoma to a Sefer Egli Tal. He says that even though we just learned that b'chol ha'tayra kula, there's a rule of mitzvahs lav l'chanes nitnu, and as Rashi in Masechta Chulin says, "V'mnei shamitzvahs l'nitlu Yisrael l'shem hanah." The mitzvahs were not given to us that we should enjoy them. El gzeiros melech aleihem, the gzeirah that we have to fulfill. Mitzvahs Talmud Torah is not that way, says Avni Nezer. The mitzvah, learning Torah, one is allowed to, there we say mitzvah lehenes nitnu. And not only that does the Avni Nezer say. He says that if somebody learns and doesn't enjoy his learning, that isn't considered real learning. In other words, he says that enjoying your learning is considered an integral part of learning Torah. And that's why there's an interesting discussion in the Magen Avraham, in Simen Reish Chaf Gimel Sifkat and Hey. What is the halacha if somebody bought new Sforim? And he's very excited about buying the new Sforim. Should he make a Bracha Shechiyanu? So the Magen Avraham says, since mitzvah lavel and hennes nitnu, buying is safer for mitzvah, and mitzvah lavel and hennes nitnu, and therefore he says, one does not make a shechiyonu when he buys a new sefer. And Mishnah Berura quotes that Magen Avraham. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that indeed, the halacha is that when somebody buys a new sefer, the meaning is not to make a shechiyanu, But he says that if somebody gets svarim as a gift, even if we'll say mitzvah lav lahenis netnu, but the enjoyment that he had, that he has from somebody giving him a gift, is enough of a reason. And also, as we're learning now, Torah, there may be a point of having enjoyment. And therefore, he says, if somebody's given an expensive sefer, a rare sefer, he can make a shekhyanu for that gift.